in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sharon Show.
You know, Xander, this is like the other day I was doing my, you know, we do double duty, both of us. We each got our own thing going as well as the show. But I was sitting there going through Romans, and I noticed how low-keyed my Roman studies are compared to being here with you.
What is it when we get together? It's just
you
like
know, it's like it's flowing. I'm just teaching. I'm enjoying myself, and I'm not looking across the table at you. And it's a little different, atmosphere.
People need to, in the wake of yesterday's show especially, people need to go to paulsevangel.com and listen to your series on Romans, which is very informative, very instructive, very well done, very professional, very thorough. You are one of the most thorough, you are the line-by-line, book-by-book teacher guys that I know. I'm a topical guy. I just go from topic to topic. Bang, bang, bang. You methodically take it.
Yeah. You're the 501st Airborne. You kind of just drop in.
Yeah. First in, first out.
And I just kind of plow through the whole, I go on the beaches and plow through and go downtown.
Then you rake up the beach when you're done.
Exactly. You rake up the beach and make
sure it's nice and feed the seagulls along the way.
Yeah.
That's you. That's right. You're very nice. You get worked up once in a while.
I do.
You used to drink tea when you did your shows. Do you still do that?
It depends. I haven't had tea during the show lately. I have been mostly doing water or coffee.
I like the fact of you drinking coffee. When I think of you drinking tea, I start to wonder about you. Sorry.
Well, I do drink tea, you know.
Oh, well, that's very good.
That's a very good thing
to do. You hold your pinky like this?
I certainly do.
Well, that's right and proper. You should do that.
I say, Mom, Dad, I'm drinking tea. Look at me.
That's the way Mary Poppins drank tea.
Mumsy and Dadsy.
Your Mumsy and Dadsy must be very proud of you.
Here's my English accent. Yo, Adrian!
Do your mom and dad listen to the show? Do your Xander show?
No, none of my family listen to the show.
None of your family listen to the show. Isn't that great?
No, none of my family listen to the show.
That's terrible. Well, what about your series on Romans?
What about my series on Romans?
The family listen to that? I mean, you know what? There's a saying, and this might apply to you. Let me know. If it doesn't, please forgive me for bringing it up.
Go ahead.
Behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law.
Well.
And you're a raging success in my mind.
Oh, gosh.
In the scriptures. You're a big
paycheck.
What do
you mean by surprised mother-in-law?
But surprised by your success.
I don't know if I'd describe her as that.
No. Oh, she expects it of you? She knows you're a great guy and you just do fantastic? You and your mother-in-law, you guys are tight, right? You guys are good?
Well, somewhat.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's the exception to the rule. I mean, that's a standard mother-in-law joke. Behind every successful man is a surprised mother-in-law. Nobody's ever good enough for a mother's daughter.
I would not put my mother-in-law on the roof of my car when we go somewhere. Or I wouldn't, put her
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really loving that you wouldn't put her on the roof.
I appreciate that.
That's really loving.
It's the type of guy I am, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So everybody, go to paulsevangel.com and listen to this guy, or else. You're going to love it, or else. Yeah. Romans is important. That's the vital book to understand what God's doing now. But this other stuff we've been talking about, it's important, too.
Yeah, I think I'm of the opinion that, as we've said in this program, you can't follow Christ without Paul. And until you understand the ABCs, which are Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians, you really the sad thing is we have people who undertake the ministry who are absolutely ignorant of the great teachings found in those letters. You can't advance. You cannot advance with God in your life without being thoroughly grounded in Romans 1-11. Period.
Not to mention the sovereignty of God in Romans 9.
Well, that's all part of
that's
it.
That's all part
and
of
it's
it.
It's all part of administrations, dispensations.
Yeah, I think next week we're going to be talking about that. I had suggested earlier that I dislike the term dispensationalist, and I do. And we're going to explain what that is to believe that God does.
I only use it for a language of accommodation.
Language of accommodation. I never use it, Sheridan, and by the time we're done next week, you're never going
to
use it again.
Yeah,
either.
But when you start explaining things to people who've never talked to you before, you got to find common ground. That's
well, you're, but
one
you're
word.
Not going to find it with that. Dispensationalist.
Well, you start off with that.
Dispensational. That's six syllables. I stopped trusting people after four
look, the
syllables.
Apostle Paul walked through the Athens there,
yes.
And he pointed to that one idol and said to the unknown God, that's the one I'm declaring. He started with the idol, and then he brought him to the true
idol.
God.
Only two syllables.
So I take him to the dispensation, and I start there, and I bring him to the
dispensation. You can't get away from it. Hey, listen, I got to give people a verse for what we did yesterday, okay?
What did we do yesterday?
You don't remember?
Just go. What's the verse?
Okay. We called Satan an angel of light.
Ah, 2 Corinthians 11.
Yeah, and we didn't read the passage because
yes,
that is
did.
So... I think we
quoted
paraphrased it. But listen, this is such a surprising teaching for most people. You and I have known this for a long time. Other people cannot believe that Satan operates this way today, that he doesn't have the pointy tail, he doesn't have the goatee.
Satan's not what you find on a chick track.
He doesn't have the handlebar mustache. And he loves that caricature because, again, it avoids it.
And by the way, nobody speaks to Satan more than Paul.
Nobody speaks to Satan more than
nobody
Paul.
Nobody speaks about him
about
more than
Satan
Paul.
More than Paul.
Should teach us a lesson.
What's the lesson? Was that your stomach that just growled?
No, that was me. I was drinking water and I kind of... That was my throat, actually. Weird.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Anyway, the point being is Paul's message is what is for today.
Yeah.
That's truth for today. And Satan stands opposed to that message. When God, in Genesis 3, in Genesis 2, when God told Adam about the trees of the garden, Satan's first point of attack was God's latest revelation. And the latest revelation of God today is found in the letters of Paul. And Satan today stands opposed to that message.
He sure does.
Satan will be happy if he can get you in the four Gospels in the early part of the book of Acts trying to preach that and live that out. Now, that's a strong statement, but ponder that. If you get up and start telling people to repent for the kingdom of the heavens that draw near, or if you start telling people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins...
That's all you hear today.
And if you hear that, he's happy because it's the wrong message for the wrong time. It's equivalent. Here's a good equivalent. It would be like going in David's day yelling, a flood is coming, build an ark.
That's a good analogy.
That's it. That message was passed. It's over.
Yeah.
We are in a day now where the evangel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is no longer being proclaimed. That message has been shut. It's on pause. It's been paused.
In God's mind, it's still going out today. Paul talks about those who boast in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. For such are false apostles, he says, fraudulent workers. Look, fraudulent workers. They're in the realm of ministry. They're in the field of ministry, but they're frauds. A fraud doesn't appear to be a fraud. A fraud doesn't come out and say, I'm a fraud. A fraud operates in the ranks and has all appearances of being the true article, but is not, being transfigured into apostles of Christ. Look at this. Transfigured into apostles of Christ. Who else could be called an apostle of Christ except a Christian? And that's the deception we've been talking about, that it's going to be so subtle that the name Christ is going to be on it. How's that for a deception?
Yeah.
I mean, that's major deception. This is where we're getting this. We're not making this up. You're in a Christian church, you're in the seat of deception. If you like it there, I'm sorry to hear that. It's because your emotions are being tickled and your hearing is being tickled.
Sorry to hear it,
but we are praying that you will be staunch in faith to see that Satan is running that operation.
And here's just as important in this verse, it is no great thing then. It's no great thing. It's no big deal, as it were, if his servants also are being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness. Now, and I am going to say this, those who are the servants of the adversary don't know it.
No, they don't know it.
Don't know it.
Perfect example, the Pharisees of our Lord's day. They were servants of the adversary.
They didn't know it.
And they did not know it.
No. Nope.
They had no clue. And if you think you're going to have a clue, you're not going to have a clue unless the light dawns on you and God gives you an infusion of spirit. But I'm telling you.
But think about it. What is the adversary doing, though? Why are we talking about all this gloomy stuff this week? It's necessary because the scriptures are for exposure and reproof. Okay, we have to expose these things. But the reason why we're doing this is because the adversary wants to keep you from peace, love, joy, and peace.
That's right.
In God is joy. In God is peace. And Satan wants to rob us of joy and peace by free will doctrines, eternal torment doctrines, preterist doctrines, amillennialist doctrines, getting away from Paul's message of justification, getting away from Paul's message of holiness in Christ, getting away from Paul's message concerning Christ coming for the church, which is his body, Paul's message concerning our celestial home, and another one is the ultimate goal of God to reconcile all creation back to himself. And as we've been talking about these judgments, they're terrible. We don't necessarily like them ourselves, but God, we love God, and we know he only does the best things. But all of these judgments coming on this earth have a purpose, and they're going to reach a goal, and they're going to be they're corrective in nature. And one day God is going to have a finished creation in the future, and it's going to be perfect again. All traces of sin and death wiped out forever. We're getting to that point in the far future, of course.
And that would not be a doctrine of demons. Demons hate that teaching.
That's right.
What you just painted, that glorious picture that the cross bought for us, Satan's not going to teach that doctrine.
Yeah.
That's our doctrine. We teach that. The mainstream church teaches the failure of the cross, and we're going to get to this more next week.
The failure of God.
We're going to get to this more next week when we said we were going to, this week, wrap up the Calvinist, because somebody sent me a great chart comparing Calvinist belief in, you know, God predesignates you, contrasting that with the so-called Arminian belief that God makes it possible for you to do the work, and then our belief that God is not only willing, he's able. Our belief is the perfect belief. It brings in the willingness of God, and it marries it to the ability of God. Whereas the God of the Calvinist is able, but he's not willing. And the God of the Arminian is willing, but he's not able. Our God is willing and able. Going to get into that next week. But you skip
one
over. It's going to be really awesome.
Oh,
as Kevin on The Office would say, oh, that is awesome.
What's that, Duke?
Duke loved that imitation.
That was pretty good. He's been quiet for about a month back there.
That's because he's still watching his baseball game. Yeah. Fraudulent, you missed that one verse. And no marvel, Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. That's the concordant version of messenger. Your standard mainstream translations would say an angel of light. And so he's an angel of light, and the bad guys aren't wearing black. Oh, I need to cover myself in 1 Timothy 4.
The bad guys aren't wearing black.
The bad guys aren't wearing black. The bad, no. No.
They're not.
No, is that what I meant to say?
Yeah, you said the bad guys aren't wearing black. That
no,
was right.
No, the bad guys are wearing white. Yeah, they're shining. They're presenting themselves as ministers of righteousness. Right. Yeah, I need to learn.
I'm
not
wearing black right now.
I need to learn never to doubt myself.
We're out of time. We're
done.
Oh
my gosh, no.
We're done.
No,
you can't get it in.
No,
stop,
yes, I can. The Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras some will be withdrawing from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons in the hypocrisy of false expressions.
Oh, false expressions.
False expressions. The church is loaded with those.
This is Dan Sheridan. We got to go. I got to straight up you.
All right.
Crossandthrone.com.
Yeah, martinsender.com. Let me get this one last
have
thing.
Have a great weekend, everybody. You'll have to wait till Monday's
Ender.
No, don't do it.
And then the Thanksgiving for its hollow through the Word of God.